a church family works together in harmony, there's no limit to what God can do. But tragically, many congregations spend most of their energy trying to keep the family moving in the same direction. It's no wonder that Jesus prayed to his Father, "I ask that they may be one." Welcome to Insight for Living, featuring another message from Chuck Swindoll, based on a series about the value of authentic relationships called Dropping Your Guard. During the next half hour, we'll look at several Bible passages that implore believers to pull together in one accord. Chuck Swindoll has titled his message, United and Invincible.
Several centuries after the Hebrews' exodus from Egypt and their invasion of the land of Canaan, King David ruled over the united nation of Israel. During his illustrious reign, David penned these words of timeless truth. They are now found in Psalm 133, the first three verses. This is his song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem to worship. Listen to these beautiful words. "How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting." In that grand psalm, David compared the spiritual blessings of a united people centered in Zion, the place of worship, with the physical blessing of dew upon Mount Hermon, which made Zion lush with vegetation. The bond believers have in Christ can bring about this same kind of blessing of joy and strength. In spite of their differences in style and language, culture or color and education, Christians from all around the world can truly live together in harmony and should do so. The significance of being united and invincible is illustrated in the passages we will be looking at today in the experiences of the Hebrews as they were moving into the Promised Land. Listen as I read to you a few verses from the first chapter of Joshua, verses 16 to 18 from the New Living Translation. These verses give us the spirit of the Hebrews who were following Joshua's leadership as they were beginning to enter the Promised Land. Joshua 1, verse 16 says, "They answered Joshua, 'We will do whatever you command us, and we will go wherever you send us. We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses. And may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your orders and does not obey your words and everything you command will be put to death. So be strong and courageous.'" Centuries later, the significance of our being united and invincible is seen in a prayer that Jesus prays on behalf of all those who believe in him. You may remember these words. The beautiful prayer is recorded in the 17th of John. Verses 20 through 23, we read, "I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me.
You're listening to Insight for Living. For helpful resources that complement our series, Dropping Your Guard, go online to insightworld.org. And now the message from Chuck Swindoll, United and Invincible.
The Bible tells us that all Christians are linked together in an invisible bond. This bond transcends all language and cultural barriers, geography, and even personality. The Christian in mid-America is strangely and yet inseparably linked with the believer in the jungles of Brazil, just as much so as to the believer in the dormitory at Oxford University. This invisible bond is referred to in the Apostles' Creed as the communion of the saints. Paul calls it a body. Many doctrinal statements refer to it as the spiritual unity of believers in Christ. Whatever may be the term, it is a family. And in this family, there is a sense of belonging and oneness. I read recently of a physician who was a Christian traveling in Korea. He was on one of those busy trains making its way through the northern part of the South Korea area, and crowded though it was, there was a seat available across from him into which a man sat, older gentleman with a large white package of cloth. And the Korean kept smiling at the doctor, and the doctor smiled back, and the Korean began to strike up a conversation, and the only line of Korean that the physician knew was, "I do not know how to speak Korean." And the man, though he heard that, continued the dialogue, or attempted to, only to hear again in Korean, "I do not know how to speak Korean." And there was again another series of things said, and the doctor, as he started to say again, "I do not know how to speak Korean," thought he heard a word that triggered the picture of something else in his mind. Yesu. He raised his eyebrows and he pointed to the man's chest toward his heart and said, "Yesu? Yesu?" Oh, the Korean just almost exploded. "Yesu! Yesu! Yesu!" And though they couldn't speak the same language, for the rest of the train ride, there was the communion of the saints. It transcended culture and even language. The physician noticed, as the man unwrapped his package, that he had a large Korean Bible, which he treasured. And he thumbed through it and found a passage in 1 John. And the physician pulled from his pocket a New Testament and located what he thought was that parallel verse that read, "We know we have passed out of death into life, because we love the brethren." Yesu, Yesu. There is that instant sense of oneness, whether you can even speak the language, if you are bound together in Christ. There's a contemporary songwriter who gave us the chorus of worship, "We are one in the bond of love. We have joined our spirit with the Spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love." How can it be that people so diverse, at such varied levels of maturity and age, can be one? I'll tell you how. It's Yesu. And only through Him will we ever know unity, through Jesus Christ. Let's take a room full of pianos that are out of tune. You hire an expert to come and tune them. I have a feeling that this man will not sit down and
by ear, strike the first note, and then set everything in order. Going to the next piano and then lining it up with the first one. No, he strikes a fork. The tuning fork strikes the note, and he tunes that piano according to that fork. And then forgetting that one, he goes to the next and strikes the fork. And when he is finished in the room, it is amazing, though he has never played them all together, they are in perfect harmony. Like the old mathematic axiom, things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. And a diverse, strangely different body of people, different in language, different in culture, different in maturity, when struck to the same fork, Jesu, are linked beautifully together with one another. Or should be. See, it isn't automatic. I want you to look at John 17 for just a moment before we finally go to Joshua and work our way through a part of that book. I want you to see in Jesus' prayer that he mentioned you and me by implication. The prayer really has to do with three objects of concern. Himself, verses 1 to 5 in John 17. And then his disciples, the 12, verses 6 through 19. And then we land at verse 20. Believe it or not, you are in Scripture. If you're in the family of God, if you're in this communion of the saints, because he prays on behalf of those who believe in him through their word. Maybe you didn't think of it, but you as a Christian in the 20th century are in the Scriptures. Jesus says to the Father, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, my own 12, but for those also who believe in me through their word. And what is it for which he prays? That they may be one. Lord God, make them one. Pull them together, set them aright so that they see the value of unity. And he doesn't just drop it and forget it. He says it again and again. In fact, that is the single prayer he offers for us. Look at it. That they may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me, and the glory which thou gave me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. And he continues, I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity that the world may know. The New International Version renders 23, that they may be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. You ever stop to think about that, Christian? The announcement you make to the world that echoes around them and they cannot escape that announcement. Our unity declares to the world that there is a difference in their lives and ours. It's like a hard rubber ball bouncing around a room. Every time it hits the wall of the world hears the echo. It's there again. It's there again. What happens when it's fragmented? It sounds like their sound. But when the world witnesses the unity of the believers, the world says, that's different. And the world senses, I am not included. You know who else heard this prayer? The adversary heard this prayer, the enemy. And I believe the devil himself rolled up his sleeves in the very first century and started slugging it out for disunity. And that's one victory he seems to have accomplished. How many denominations can you name? Well, if you're an astute student of religion, you probably could name 50, maybe 40. Do you know the National Association of Evangelicals, which is a very small slice of Christendom, releases the number among its 35,000 member churches who are a part of the NAE, 35 differing denominations within their slice? One slice among hundreds of slices, and within that slice, there are 35. Begging the point, you ask a Christian on the streets of your city, or ask a person on the street of your city, are you a Christian? They'll say, I'm a Methodist. I'm a Baptist. I'm Episcopalian. I'm Presbyterian. They'll name their church. Isn't it interesting? No. You say, I want to know, are you in the family of God? And some will look at you as though that's an insult to ask that. I told you my denomination. I want to tell you there is a grief that is heavier than that on the heart of God. Forgetting the big picture for a moment, and that's hard to do, I think what grieves the Father even worse is that there could be friction in the fellowship of a local body, where we are even here of the same, quote, denomination, and basically of the same philosophy, or we wouldn't be here. And yet the frayed fellowship that is brought on by the friction of poor relationships with one another, what damage it does. It's like driving a car that has a tire that rubs on the fender. You ever done that? You don't drive very far and you don't go very fast till you fix the tire or the fender. That's the way it is when the body is disunified. We're working on that these days. I'm thinking a lot about it. You're patient to hear these words from day to day. And I have begun to define for all of us a couple or three terms that I think become important in understanding relationships with each other. A new one is assimilation. Assimilation. What in the world is assimilation? Well, it's being absorbed into the life of a unified body. That's assimilation. Let me give it this way. A thread is assimilated into the sweater so beautifully that you don't notice the thread, you just notice the sweater. Even a multicolored sweater that is knitted together by those threads has, oh, how many thousands of threads, and they're all assimilated into the fabric. What the thread is to the sweater, the believer is to the body when assimilated. Assimilation is being absorbed into the life of the unified body. Are you on your way to being? Do you care about being one of those threads? Not as a person standing by watching the ball do its bouncing off walls, but a part of that fabric of that ball that makes its announcement to the world. We are one. Well, then what's unity? If I refer to a unified body, what is unity? Well, get it this way. It means closing ranks and minimizing our differences. Oh, that's hard for some people to do. We are by nature competitive. We are by nature folks who categorize. We are by nature critical. And therefore, the nature of the beast is not to close ranks and minimize our differences. It's to highlight them. And to turn into cliques and little units that sort of pull weight and get their own way. It's really hard to flesh out the unifying of the body. Now the purpose, you see, of unity is that we might become more deeply involved. And what is involvement? Well, a very simple answer is adjusting my life from that of a spectator to a participant. That's involvement. I adapt, I adjust my life so that I see myself as a participant and I am no longer a spectator coming to watch ministry. How many of you who hear my voice today would have to admit you're merely a spectator? I don't say that to arouse guilt in anyone. I say it simply to point out the fact that we don't think of that. And I don't simply mean teaching in a class somewhere. That may be your assimilation. That may be your involvement. It may be playing trombone in the brass choir. It may be serving in a particular way through the week in the life of a group. It may be being in a discipleship ministry so that is a growing part of your life. Whatever tag it may wear, it's something more than a Sunday attendance in a worship service.
As followers of Jesus Christ, all of us play a significant role in the family of God. You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, United and Invincible. This sermon is just one of 12 in the topical series called Dropping Your Guard. To purchase the CDs or to download the audio files, go to insightworld.org. And now with more on today's topic, Chuck sat down to chat with Insight for Living board member Roger Kemp.
Well, Chuck, this month we're listening to the series Dropping Your Guard, and in that series you're building a strong biblical case for sharing our lives together in community.
Right, right.
And, you know, isn't it interesting that our culture has probably never been more technologically connected and yet probably never more guarded and lonely than right now?
We are a lonely society. I've seen families come into a restaurant, and as soon as they sit down, all five of them, you know, have the iPhone in their hand, and they're starting to text or whatever, and they don't even look at the waiter. Here they are, a family of five people, if you will, connected to somebody, but not to each other.
Each of us has that longing in our hearts to be in a relationship with others and certainly with God. And I was glad to hear from this new friend in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Wow.
Who's no longer a stranger to us because of this letter. And I want to take a moment just to read this. He wrote, "About 10 years ago, I did not know Jesus Christ. By the world standards, I was living a successful life, but deep inside was empty and depressed. One morning, in what could only be attributed to divine intervention, I came across Insight for Living. I knew this is what I'd been searching for all along. I never miss a single program. I'm eternally grateful to Insight for Living for mentoring, guiding, and assisting me in my daily walk with Christ." And this comes from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Well, let me say to you, my friend, if you're listening now, you really ministered to me by writing those words. I never take such things for granted. I stay surprised and grateful.
You know, after 34 years in ministry, Chuck, now we're heard on 2,300 radio stations around the world, translated into 5 of the top 10 languages in the world, and reaching millions of listeners all over the world. But really, it all starts one listener. One friend at a time, doesn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And it's easy to forget that. And I'll say this to you who are right now still with us today. It's your turn. I'd love for you to connect with us today. Think of it this way. You're writing me a letter. And many of these letters I'm able to read. I'm able to read excerpts from a lot of them. We don't want to be strangers any longer. At some point in your life, you found us. We were there, and you turned the radio on, or you were in some other way locating us, and God was at work, and you became the recipient, whether you knew it or not, of someone else's generosity, because they had helped up until that point to make sure we stayed on the air or on the internet. And now, let me say this, you can be the one to do that for someone else. Think of it like that. We can't possibly provide these programs without a person like you to help us do it. So today's the day. Let your support of our ministry be known with a gift. And I mean a generous gift. Might make up for some lost time, huh? Thank you for doing that, and we're grateful for you.
All right. Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, Roger. And yes, this is a very strategic season for the ministry. It's important we hear from you. Please contact us today so that we're no longer strangers, but partners in the ministry of Insight for Living. Here at this time of the year, we begin closing the financial books on another year of ministry, and it's imperative that we conclude the year in the black so that we're financially strong. Your call, your letter, your online donation will make all the difference. Choose one of two ways to respond to Chuck Swindoll. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or online go to insight.org. It's healthy for any ministry, any family, any believer to look back on God's faithfulness. It's what gives us confidence that we can step into the future with His provision. And when you give a donation today, we want to send a helpful resource tool that dovetails naturally with today's study in Joshua. It's called Insight's Bible Application Guide, Joshua through Esther, a life lesson from every chapter. When you give a donation to Insight for Living today, we'll send a copy with our thanks. Again, it's called Insight's Bible Application Guide, Joshua through Esther. Let us hear from you today. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Online, go to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Chuck Swindoll's series on the value of authentic relationships, Dropping Your Guard, continues Thursday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, United and Invincible, was copyrighted in 1981, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2013 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.